Hi, today is November 8th, 2015. This is Mobile News Podcast number 137. I'm Todd Agasawar with my good friend John Westfall. And this is take two because I was interrupted by a phone call just as we started the podcast. So John is going to have to say the same darn thing again.
Yeah, you know, if it wasn't for my impeccable comedic timing, this would be a real stretch and a real hardship for me. But the second time through, knowing from my own lectures, my jokes are just way more streamlined and hit much harder.
So okay, there
the
you
audience
go.
Is actually just getting a plus on, you know,
on a second attempt,
already kind of sickeningly striking humor.
There right? you go. Yeah, we all know your bad Saturday jokes too. So.
Oh yes. They're all queued up until the end of the year. By the way, they're all set to go.
Any case, well, this week we've got kind of just a bunch of miscellaneous topics, hitting this, that, and the other thing. No real theme to this, but we are going to start with an oddity, and that is something you probably haven't heard in a very long time. That name is BlackBerry, because they have a new phone, an Android-based phone called, well, it's spelled P-R-I-V. It's either Priv or Prive. I'm going to say Priv because there's no E on the end.
We should probably learn how to pronounce it because it's probably going to go down in history as the shortest-lived phone on the shelves of most vendors. So, you know, it'll probably replace the Kin. We had to learn Kin, and now I think Priv will be the next one. I suspect, what, Kin was like 48 days? I give the Priv a solid 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think Kin was 6 weeks, something like that. So 48 days sounds just about right. But in any case, it is an Android phone, so they dropped their BlackBerry OS. And unlike most phones these days, it does have a QWERTY keyboard, which I do like. I like that idea. I always like physical keyboards.
Kin had one of those, too.
Did it? Gosh, I forgot about that.
I thought one
of
the Kins did. I thought there were two Kins, and I thought the second Kin had a QWERTY keypad.
Oh, man. See, well, you know, the Kin... well, let's not go there. That's even sadder than Windows Mobile. But at least I never owned one, so I don't feel as bad as I do about Windows Mobile.
Well, if you blinked for 2 seconds, you wouldn't have been able to own one. It's not like you had a lot of time to save up for it.
But, you know, I wonder if it's the beginning of the end for BlackBerry. Not that they're too far away from the end. But, you know, if you look back 10, 15 years, Palm switched from Palm OS to Windows Mobile, which shocked everybody, and they promptly went down the tubes. I think HP bought Palm, or somebody bought Palm.
Yeah.
And Nokia, of course, famously switched from the S60 to Windows Phone, and at least the phone part of the company is no longer in existence because Microsoft laid off practically everybody that they absorbed during the purchase of the company. So, you know, this strategy of moving to a new OS has really not worked out well for vendors in the past, and I'm not sure BlackBerry is going to be different. Because I don't think there are any BlackBerry diehards left to actually rush out and go buy a Priv.
Well, and we talked about this problem a little bit a couple weeks ago. If the BlackBerry diehards exist, they have probably spent the last 5 years hating Android and iOS. And just vehemently talking about how horrible Android was as an operating system and how wonderful BlackBerry OS was and how everything was better with BlackBerry OS. It's a hard pill to swallow when all of a sudden your enemy for the last 5 years is what you're supposed to embrace.
Yeah, I guess that's how the Palm people felt when they went to Windows Mobile and Nokia went. I don't know if Windows Phone was considered the enemy, but certainly dropping the S60, which, you know, a lot of people really liked.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting. Well, that's pretty much all I've got to say about the Priv. I'm not planning to buy one. Not planning to look at one.
I will say that I was correct. The Microsoft Kin, both Kins did have full QWERTY keypads.
Wow. And that's what killed them. No.
Yeah, apparently so.
No, what killed them was the idiotic phone plan for, I think it was like $100 a month, which was expensive even back then. And it was aimed at kids who didn't have $100 a month.
Yeah, and the devices weren't all that great hardware-wise.
Yeah, yeah. So all around, it was just a wonderful strategy. A
giant piece of junk.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I mean, it did provide... I remember we were at Microsoft. We were out there for something about 6 months after the Kin, and all of the USB charging dongles that we were loaned out for charging something at that point were Kin branded. Apparently, you know, they had a lot of stock to reabsorb after that.
Okay, enough. You can tell I'm really excited, but I just wanted to mention it because, you know,
that we might be sitting here in podcast 268 saying, you remember in 137 when we joked about what the BlackBerry Priv was going to be, and now the BlackBerry Priv is everywhere, and everyone is using it, and all the celebrities are using it, and even they've just rolled them out to everyone at Apple and everyone at Microsoft. And
BlackBerry just bought Samsung.
Yeah, BlackBerry just bought Samsung and plans on liquidating it like Microsoft did to Nokia, just out of spite.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Probably not. Canadians are probably too nice for that.
But, yeah, you know. But it would be make an interesting alternate history story, right? Where
there's a universe somewhere, Todd, where that happens.
That's right. That's right. Okay, next thing up is a very small thing, really, and that's Google Keep for iOS can now export to Google Docs. I find it interesting because I've actually been using Google Keep a bit more recently. In some respects, to not exactly replace Evernote, which I still use daily, but to offload some of the things I used to use and I used to do in Evernote, simply because Evernote seems to be getting a little less stable for me. There's a lot of times where, you know, it's not syncing properly, and I don't mean, you know, the conflict problems that you and I had when we were running show notes on there, but just me. So
I'm feeling lucky that Evernote has not started to fade for me. So I still am using it daily, and I use quite a bit of it. And I really don't think I will switch away from it until some other service can wholly import from Evernote.
Yeah, and also, you know, really, there's nothing as good as Evernote overall. I mean, I tried OneNote a couple of weeks ago after we spoke to Jack Cook. I mean, and it just didn't grab me. It didn't grab me the first time around, which is why I switched to Evernote in the first place. But anyway, the Google Keep for iOS can now export to Google Docs, which is kind of a nice little feature. The Android and web versions could do that months ago, because this is catch-up. But, you know, it is kind of an odd hybrid, and I wonder if it's Google's little way of trying to challenge the fading Evernote, which is, as you recall, we discussed a couple weeks ago, is having some financial difficulties. It's worth keeping an eye on. I really do hope another great note-keeping app turns up if Evernote starts to fade out into the nothingness. I certainly hope that doesn't happen because I use it every day.
I agree. What I would really like to see would be Evernote that ran basically from a file system off of a cloud storage provider that you could pick. So, you know, if I want to put my Evernote in Dropbox, then I can do that, and it's all the files just sync up automatically through Dropbox, and then later if I want to switch to, well, I would not do this, but switch to OneDrive, I could do that, or switch to Google Drive or anything like that.
Yeah, and we have more about OneDrive at the end of our podcast.
And including my protest of OneDrive. So,
next up is a new app that I learned about a couple of days ago. It's called NewsOn, N-E-W-S-O-N. It's available for Android and iOS. And what makes it interesting is they've apparently signed up with about 100 U.S. Local stations. And Broadcaster News Live, actually there's a little delay I found. You know, it's streaming video, so you can watch news, and also clips, so if you miss something, you can watch it later in the day. There's no cost, there's no subscription, there's no add-ins to purchase, and you don't have to be a subscriber on a particular cable company's a service to use it. You can just use it watch news over the air, and it's pretty neat for people. I'm not a cord cutter myself, but for people who are cord cutters, it's, you know, one less thing that they might think of that needs a, you know, cable subscription or over-the-air TV.
It's definitely something, now that you've brought it up, I think I will play with, because I've never, you know, sometimes you want local news. It's very rare, but, you know, on occasion you do. And so it's something I definitely think I will check out.
Yeah, where I live, two of the local news channels are on news on, I think it's the ABC channel and the CBS channel, or whatever they call those things. So Fox and NBC. I think Fox and NBC are not on, but you know, two out of the four. Actually, here it's a little tricky because CBS. Two of the stations are actually have the same morning news show. So really, there's only three morning news shows here. But in any case, it's a pretty neat thing. It's free. News on, NEWSON, available both Android and iOS. No add-in costs. No, there's some ads. I mean, you know, it's like banner ads, but they're not too big. And if you go full screen doing while streaming video, there's no ads at all, except for, you know, the interstitials. They don't stream the commercials, because I guess those are licensed separately. But there are interstitial ads, like, you know, video stop momentarily. This is brought to you by whatever. So not too bad. Price is good.
Yeah, it's interesting to me in that I think we're kind of on the kind of cusp of people wanting minimalistic sort of content. Just give me exactly what I want, not everything. News on Phil is not going to be all the news available out there in the world. It's just your local news. And it reminds me of the breaking news app that I believe that actually is from NBC. It's an NBC property, but it basically the only thing it does is news alerts, and you can customize which alerts you like. So breaking news, I replaced the USA Today app on my phone because it was sending me alerts that I didn't really care about, and other things that I did care about I would never see. So I'm hopeful. I want to put this that I'm hopeful that media companies are starting to figure out what users actually want instead of trying to tell users what they want.
Yeah, you know, and I turn off notifications automatically unless I find an app particularly interesting and worthy of notifying me when I don't want to be notified. So I didn't have that problem with the USA Today app, and I do have it on my phones because of, well, one reason. According to, I think, gosh, who did the study? Might have been the Wall Street Journal. But somebody did a study of the weight of various websites, not just news websites, but USA Today's mobile app for iOS was the lightest. No, I'm sorry, web page. It wasn't their app, so never mind. Their web page was the lightest weight mobile web page, period. Fast, you know, it doesn't send a minimum number of bytes. I assume their web app is pretty close to that if it follows basically in as a wrapper for their web page. So that's one reason to keep USA Today around.
I just downloaded News On, and it started auto-playing, which is very, very annoying.
You can't change that.
I'm just curious what it is auto-playing, because it didn't even tell me what station it pulled up near me. So yeah, something nearby. I think I'm getting news from Richmond, Kentucky. That is not the closest news station to me. So this will be curious to see what this app actually allows.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, with 100 stations or so, you know, it's basically two per state. Some will have more, some will have less, I would guess.
I would argue that this is okay. This is quite possibly the worst user interface I've ever seen.
The UI is bad, definitely.
Yeah,
bad.
This is really horrible.
It is not intuitive and basically ugly, but it does work. the one thing it does, show news, it does work.
Fire ant frenzy hits Mississippi. Well, gee, that's something to be scared about that I didn't know about before.
Yeah, fire ants are nothing to be fussing around with, let me tell you.
No. Yeah, I am just looking to figure out what stations they have, and that seems to be asking too much. Because all I'm seeing is this one news channel that I don't believe is anywhere near me.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I flip to the other side, and there's random junk there. Okay, this is going to take a while for me to figure out, but it does look like there's actually content near my area here, so that's...
Yeah, it, like I said, two of my local stations have stream, or not have, but stream video on it, and I can also pop into other stations. I mean, you don't have to choose the one nearest to you. So, you know, if you have moved away from your hometown, you will see what's going on in your hometown, and they've one of their stations on there, you can do that.
So it looks like the stations nearest to me are a station in Memphis and a station in Jackson. And then that's about it. Nothing local news, but I can watch the local news from Shreveport that I used to watch. That'll be exciting. A good find, Todd. I think this will be a useful app in some way. I can watch WABC from New York again.
Yeah.
Catch up with the weatherman that I used to make fun of behind his back. Well, he never, even if it was in front of his face, he wouldn't have known he was on the TV.
Yeah.
So.
And when you're traveling, you can, stay in touch with your local news and that sort of thing, which is not too hard to do anymore. I mean, you can always go to the website, but still.
No, because, most local news has put basically all of their stuff on their websites.
But. Yeah. Unlike newspapers, which you put them on the website behind a paywall. So nobody reads them anymore.
I mean, who wants to actually read their stuff? That's apparently newspapers don't get the idea that they need people reading their stuff.
Right. Okay, so next up on the list is just something I wrote last week for Extreme Tech, and that's Windows 10 Insider Preview Build 10,586 was released last week. And to me, I'm going to call it a gold disc release or speculate that it is. One reason is that it's it doesn't have the build number on the bottom right-hand corner of the display as most preview builds I've seen have. And also the rumor is that next week, what is it, the 10th, I think? November 10th, or not next week, really a couple days from now.
Mm-hmm.
November 10th, Windows 10 Threshold 2, which is the first big release. I think Microsoft is officially calling it Windows 10 Fall Update, is going to be released. So I summarize all the features that have been added since September in the various builds. There's been about 4 build releases since September. So if you're interested in it, go to extremetech.com and go find my article. Another thing I find interesting is, so if Windows 10 Fall Update is released on the 10th, that's could be a big news cycle if they launch some, not they, but their hardware partners launch some interesting hardware. But also the iPad Pro is rumored. That's not official yet, right, for November 11th?
No, there's no official announcement yet, but November 11th is the rumor date for that.
So it could be a big release week this week for both Apple and Microsoft. I suspect that once the Apple news cycle hits, they're going to get the majority of the news cycles that are available.
We shall see. But it is really just one thing they're announced. There would be leaking out would be the iPad Pro. So
yeah, and then I don't think they've sent any announcements to journalists or anything. So not that I would get one, but.
Well, not that I think they're going to do any. I don't think they're actually going to do an event. I think it's just going to be that it appears available for pre-order.
Yeah, because they've already announced it, so there's nothing to announce. Yeah. And fair enough. I hope they announce an iPad Air 3, because I'm still on the fence on what to do for my next iPad.
Well, I just purchased another iPad Air 2, one for my wife. She's upgrading from the iPad 3rd gen, the first with the Retina display, and everything I read said that we're not going to see another Air until next year. Fall, so
that's what I'm reading too.
I figured it was time to pull the trigger.
Yeah. Okay, and the last item on our list, and probably one we're going to be ranting about for a little while, is Microsoft. Microsoft just amazes me in their ability to not plan sometimes. So
Microsoft amazes me in their ability to snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Yeah, well, last year when Office 365 was announced or released, they made a big deal that they would at some point upgrade. It hasn't actually happened yet, I think, but that they would upgrade Office 365 users from 1 terabyte of free OneDrive, not free, but to include 1 terabyte. It used to include 1 terabyte of storage on Microsoft OneDrive to unlimited, as in greater than 1 terabyte.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, they didn't actually expect people to use more than 1 terabyte because they got into a big huff this past week and decided that they were going to take away the unlimited plan and go back to, I guess, 1 terabyte. And they were also removing some other options for people who do not have Office 365. If you turned on your automatic photo upload, you would get, 10 gigabytes or 15 gigabytes of extra space to your normal, 15 gigabytes of free space.
Yeah, 15 now.
Yeah.
What used to be 25.
It used to be 25. And then
was thrown down to 5 at one point and then back up to 15.
Yeah.
So I still have live accounts that have 25 gigs. But that was when SkyDrive, you had to upload everything through SkyDrive through a web uploader. So no one had, in actuality, that much up there.
Yeah, but, you know, so, I don't have an Office 365 account, so I've got no particular bone to pick, although I'm annoyed on behalf of people who do have an Office 365 account. I don't know what they're going to do with my account. I think I have about 42 gigabytes of space through various promotional add-ons that they've had, which were said to be, you know, permanent, but so is the unlimited.
Yeah. I was the same way. I have one OneDrive account, my primary one that I use all the time, that has 140 gigs on it of storage. I have no idea how it ever got 140 gigs. I'm very thankful it has 140 gigs, but it was at that level. I was using it actually as my primary file syncing solution for about the last 3 months. And then this week when this news came out, I took a look at what I had stored and syncing and realized that I don't sync a lot of stuff. A lot of my stuff doesn't change that much between my office and work and home computer. So I moved some stuff out of Cloud Sync, and my 11 gigs of Dropbox space that I have through promotional things with Dropbox is fine enough for me now. So I've gone back to Dropbox fully because this has told me that Microsoft has no idea what they're doing with the cloud.
And I assume you have a paid Dropbox account if you have a...
No, I actually have a free that's got 11 gigs.
Oh, interesting.
From various promo here, promo there, this, that. It's an old Dropbox account. So I at one point did have 50 gigs of Dropbox that I paid for, and then at some point I dropped down because I didn't need that much.
Yeah, I got a little notice from Dropbox, and this is nothing to do with the Microsoft thing, but that my a two-year promotion that I had when I bought my Samsung tablet or something, that bumped me up another 20 gigs is going to disappear. But you know what? I knew that was going to disappear, so it's not a big deal. They said it was 2 years. It's been 2 years, and now that extra 20 gigs is going away. It's not a big deal. You know, I still have plenty of space.
Yeah, I don't mind when it was, if you know about this in advance. If it's something that, okay, you're going to get this promo space for a certain amount of time, and that's great. But it's when you had space, and then you have no more space.
Oh, it's even worse for the people who actually use more than 1 terabyte.
they were told, hey, this will be there for you, go ahead and use it, and now it's not there anymore.
You know, the thing that bothers me about the way Microsoft handled it is, you know, if this was a free service and they said, hey, you know, we miscalculated, free for, you know, unlimited for free is not a sustainable business plan.
we didn't figure this out. Our accounting team, they were away that day, and we let the marketing team figure it out, and they tell us now that apparently this is not sustainable.
Yeah. See, I would understand that, but what they're taking away is a paid service. I mean, people pay $99 a year. Or $69 a year, depending which plan you have, but $69 and $99 a year for Office 365, and for that you get a license to use their software for 1 year, and in theory, you're supposed to get unlimited storage. So, you know, it's not like you're freeloading on them. Mm-hmm. You're paying for it. You didn't ask for unlimited, but they offered to you it, and they said, hey, I'm paying for it, so I might as well use it. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying, that promise, never mind.
Yeah, we were wrong about that one.
And, you know...
no hard feelings, right?
And, you know, since I did have what I thought was a lot of spacing, like I said, about 42 gigs on OneDrive, I was automatically uploading photos both to Google Photos and to OneDrive. And then I thought to myself, you know, in protest, I'm just going to turn off the photo upload, also because I figured they might reduce my space. But then I found out that OneDrive app on iOS hadn't actually been updated. Dating anything since September, so oh well.
Yeah, that's the other thing with the OneDrive apps. They're really
terrible
apps.
Yeah.
They don't update things like they're supposed to, and so that's another reason why I went back to Dropbox.
Yeah, my theory is that the OneDrive software team are rejects from the Apple Podcast app team. And as you know, I believe the Apple Podcast app is the worst piece of software Apple's ever written. So, yeah, those guys weren't good enough for that team.
Oh, that's sad. But I agree with you. I will catch the app on my my computer just go for, you know, 2 or 3 days without syncing anything,
yeah.
or die and not respawn,
right.
and just not very respectable things for Apple to put its users, or for Microsoft to put its users through.
Yeah, so, yeah, OneDrive, yeah, you'd probably make some minimal use out of it if I need to use, you know, Word Online, since I don't actually have any Microsoft Office products on my Windows 10 box anymore. You know, when I need to make a document, I usually use Google Docs, and if it has to be Word compatible, I'll use... Although Google Docs, I think, can write to a Word doc file, but if I need a little bit more compatibility, I'll use the Word Online. So I'll use it for that, but nothing serious.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't trust Microsoft on OneDrive.
That's very, very true, sadly.
Yeah. So, well, that's kind of a downer to close on. So we won't close on it. I did want to mention something good. I noticed that Yahoo's Flickr, if you remember Yahoo.
Okay, yeah, I remember them.
Yeah, yeah. So Yahoo's Flickr, which bought Flickr, just added some new features to their photo upload service. It can now categorize things like Google Photos does, so, you know, animals and places and things and that sort of thing. And it has free 1 terabyte of storage. So, you know, if you're looking for another place to put your photos, well, there's 1 terabyte right there. And so far, Yahoo has reneged on it. yeah, and they've been at it for, I think they upgraded about maybe less than a year ago, but, you know, there's always hope that they'll keep doing it, assuming they stay in business. The animal part, well, you know, we have rabbits here, and Yahoo's animal categorizer has categorized the rabbits as dogs, cats, birds, you know, it's furry birds, I don't know.
They should be, I suppose, flattered that they are so many different things to so many different people.
Well, you know, they're a universal pet. What can I say?
Yeah, exactly.
But there you are. So Flickr, it's still free. I think they have a paid account of some kind, but I'm not sure what you get out of it because they give you 1 terabyte free. As I said, there's picture categories, and I think they upgraded their iOS app so it supports Force Touch or whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a happy touch. Note. We can go out on that. I think that I feel a lot better about the world knowing that Yahoo and, of all places, Yahoo and Flickr have my back.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, something you added to the show notes to really close it out is what to do when your product becomes too popular.
Yeah, it seems like this is just another example of companies that really don't know how to handle this sort of situation. And in the tech world, we've seen a couple of different ways to handle this. We've seen companies just do what Microsoft did and shut down things completely, in a sense, remove things altogether. They have a lot of companies, I mean, when it's a free service, it just shuts down. You know, just it's not going to be there anymore because it's too expensive for them to maintain. But with a paid service like this, it's usually the paid users are at least protected in some way, and it's the users that weren't paying for it that kind of get the problem.
Yeah.
And then some companies grandfather. In fact, Microsoft did grandfather for a long time with OneDrive, SkyDrive, where whatever you had when you came in, that was what you got. I have no idea if that's still going to be the case now or not. I guess a lot of us with the older OneDrive accounts are curious what's going to happen to us.
Yeah, definitely.
And then other companies just kind of lure you to another plan or force you to another plan. The cell phone providers do this all the time with the unlimited goes away, and then you get you know, some new feature that they were holding back on you until you got rid of the unlimited. So my question, and the thing I thought would be interesting to talk about, would just be, what is the best for users, and what can you... Obviously, the best for users is probably grandfathering.
Yeah.
Let me keep whatever I had. But what should users expect when a company says, we can't do this anymore?
It's tough, right? I mean, as you said, sometimes they just go out of business. Not necessarily because they became too popular, but they just go out of business and... It's a tough one. I know recently a number of companies, I think SoundCloud and some other companies, I don't know if it's because they became too popular, but have changed their focus, you know, away from, say people who do podcasts. I think a number of people did podcasts on SoundCloud because it's a convenient way to do it. And now that option is gone, or you got to pay some, you know, amount of money that you didn't have to before. You know, I don't know. And of course, you know, things like SpringPad just disappeared.
Yep.
Because their model, not that they were too popular, but their model just wasn't working for whatever reason. Or they had scaled up too much and couldn't afford it. Even Evernote, right? So we thought Evernote was doing fine. At least I thought Evernote was doing fine all these years. And so I was shocked when they had to downsize and apparently that they have some cash flow problems. Because I thought they had figured out the whole, the premium model versus the free model. Mm-hmm. You know, and I thought they did the right thing. They had a good free model for people who didn't want to pay or couldn't pay. That was still very useful. And they had a premium service for people who could afford not too much. I think it's $50 a year or thereabouts. And you get a few extra features like fastical optical character recognition, that sort of thing. But apparently even that wasn't enough. Fortunately, I think they've increased the number of tiers, but they haven't actually cut back services mm-hmm. to either their free or premium paid service people. And then, of course, there's Google, who just chops stuff off the, you know.
Yeah, knees. With Google, it just never exists anymore because you weren't... with Google, it was basically you weren't to assume it ever would exist forever.
Yeah, that's a scary thing.
Yeah, you use the service for 10 years, but don't assume you're going to have it for a day longer than what you've had it for.
Yeah, and of course, you know, many of their services are free with no option to pay, so... There's not
you can't even vote with your wallet on.
No, you can't. You know, the biggest problem for me right now is Google Voice.
Mm-hmm.
Although Google Voice does not appear to be going away, for those of us who switch to Google Fi, their cell phone service, their MVNO, if you, as like me, you know, so I wanted to switch to it. I knew the consequences of it, but basically I have no Google Voice app on my Android phone. On the Google mm-hmm. Fi service, because it's simply not supported. They tell you that up front. It's in the fact, you know, blah, blah, blah. There are some workarounds, but they're not pretty. And you know, had I done it the wrong way, by the way, it would have been even worse, because if you transfer your Google Voice number to Google Fi, your Google Voice completely disappears. I mean, everything disappears, including your archives.
Yeah.
So it can be very, very ugly. Now, fortunately, they documented that, but if you didn't read the documentation...
Which some geeks are wont to avoid.
Yeah. You know, you're going to run into some problems. I don't know what the solution is. You know, even with backups, right? I mean, I think there used to be... I think there still is. There was a jungle disk... which uses Amazon Web Services. And I remember they made some kind of change a while back, and there were a lot of people complaining and all that sort of thing. And, of course, you know, I worry about using anything as a backup anymore. A bunch of us were talking about it in our private email group where I was wondering about how to back up things now that, you know, not that OneDrive affects me in particular, but just... You know, how much can I depend on Google Drive, and how much can I depend on Flickr, and how much can I depend on this, that, and the other thing? So it looks like your solution, going to Dropbox, assuming Dropbox can stay healthy. I'm not sure how healthy they are.
Yeah, that's the other, you know, we'll have to see. And
hope Google doesn't buy them and make them disappear.
In the end, My suggestion to everyone would be always, always have local backups of absolutely everything.
This is true. Absolutely true. And you know,
every 6 months even, I back up my Gmail account from that last
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. I keep local email archives as far back as I can go. All of my cloud, anything that's backed up in the cloud is also backed up on a local disk somewhere.
And I should note that Google in particular, despite their propensity for destroying services, they do let you export your data from their service.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have good tools for that, including Google Voice, by the way. You can actually back up all of your voice files to your local drive. I like to keep the spam calls because they're kind of fun to listen to. Although I block them immediately after somebody spams me, of course. But those are kind of fun. It's an interesting problem. I'm not sure, you know, I'm just really not sure how to solve this one. But
yeah.
I was going to mention your sneaker net thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
buying a couple of extra USB, not thumb drives, but big drives, you know, hard drives, or a big SSD, and then shuttling them between your home and your office, or your home and a friend's home, or your mom or dad's home. It's not a bad way to back things up.
No, and I actually do that quite a bit. I have, in fact, I finally have figured out a system I like. So I this is a system I should have done years ago. But I have a 2 terabyte disk. I've got 3 computers that basically have content that I would like to keep refreshed on that disk regularly. Mm-hmm. So maybe once a week, every couple of weeks, etc. And so I finally just wrote little rsync scripts that live on that disk. And when I plug the disk in, I fire off the script that grabs all the changed files, all the changes from those directories, syncs it to the disk. And then as a last little, just in case, it copies its own script onto the target computer that it's grabbing from. So if this disk drive were to ever get lost or stolen or corrupted or whatever, I would at least know what I was backing up on it by just looking at the rsync scripts.
Nice.
So a little bit of automation and a little bit of pre-planning. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago when my Mac mini hard drive went, it was the system disk, it wasn't the data disk, but I was talking with a friend of mine, and you know, as soon as I told her I had a hard drive failure, she goes, oh, did you lose data? And then before I could even ask, she goes, no, you didn't, did you? I said, no. I had everything packed up, and it was kind of annoying, but you never quite know until weeks later if you've lost something.
Absolutely.
But, you know, 3-4 weeks later, I can't think of anything that was on that drive that I desperately need it. So.
Okay, and on that happier note, that you didn't lose anything, I'm going to end my Mobile News Podcast number 137, Tadagasawara, John Westfall. We will talk to you next time. Although I think next week you're not here.
No, next week I'll be around.
Okay.
Yeah, after that I start traveling.
Okay, we might have a guest speaker or somebody. Which reminds me, Mobile News Podcast is heading towards its, again, I'm doing the math, 7-year anniversary, I think. So, we've been doing this a long time. Although, you know, there have been times when I just haven't podcasted for long periods. But anyway, thanks to John, we have been very, very regular podcasting team for a while now, actually. I think we're coming up on 2 years.
Yeah, you are right.
Okay. Anyway, 137 in the can.